And we're back with What's Ailing America, where answer today is no defense against Jewish aggression, with my special guest, J.B. Campbell. And we're starting to get callers. I just want to say, Bruce, that the only criticism I've heard from anybody that listens to you on my shows, and I try to have you on at least once a month because I think your message is so important, is that people do not get a clear sense of when do they act. You know, as far as like if the police have different check blocks or roadblocks, whatever, checkpoints on the street, you know, they don't feel that getting out of the car and, you know, unleashing an Uzi is a proper response or whatever. And I do understand that this is a hard thing. But on the other hand, do you wait until they're breaking down your door, knowing, as you said, that, you know, Alex Jones is saying, well, yeah, go ahead and rape my wife, which means also rape my children. I'm going to submit, do everything, anything you want me to do, as long as you're going to allow me to live, which they're probably not going to do anyways. So is there some way that you can share with the listeners? And I don't want to say you're out there. I mean, they know who you are. They've tried to scare you. It's not working. And guess what? You're still alive and doing what you're doing. So, and I am too. You know, I've had some interesting experiences, but I'm not afraid of these monsters. And that's what I'm trying to teach people is standing up to them. You know, first of all, with truth is the most important thing you can do because they're being killed off as well. But as far as taking out a gun and opening fire, see, that's a problem for me as well because I won't even kill an insect unless it's going to sting me. But I'm not saying that I'm afraid to take arms against them when the time is right. But that's the hard thing for people. How do we know when the time is right? Can you give any, you know, education as to what you would do if you were there on that matter?
Oh, sure. I mean, as you say, though, we should try to calculate the effect that this Jones has had on his faithful listeners, his millions of now probably fairly confused listeners. It's a terrible thing that he did. It's a betrayal. The big champion of the Second Amendment said he throws down his gun before he's even attacked. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Yes.
The other day, you're in other words, you're wondering, well, are we premature? And a guy asked me this the other day.
No, I'm not saying we're premature at all. Are you kidding me? They're killing us every day.
I don't mean to put words in your mouth. I'm just saying the idea is, you know, you said we're going to pull out an Uzi if a cop wants to give us a speeding ticket. Well, of course not. I mean, if you know you're probably pulled over for a speeding ticket, well, you're going to take your medicine.
Right.
You know the difference. If three black SUVs roll into your driveway, then you know you got a problem, and it's time to pull out the firepower. It's
right.
Not a matter
and
of...
And I just want to clarify that I totally agree with you. That's why I wanted you to clarify on the air about that. Because people need to hear that. Because I was pulled over a couple of years ago because I drove out of my road and I didn't have a seatbelt on. And I ended up getting into a half-hour conversation with the trooper who pulled me over because my tag on my license tag is no two vaccines. And I gave him, you know, basically a whole bunch of handouts on how dangerous vaccines are. His wife is a nurse. She was scared of vaccines. And I think that I did some good during that time because I taught him something. Of course, he still gave me the ticket and said, I hope you realize I'm just doing what I have to do. And I kind of laughed as I drove off. But, yes, in fact, in situations like that, that's what I wanted you to make clear to people. Is that, you know, for something like that, you know, that's garbage, okay? So you don't have a seatbelt on, you're caught. You know, you were going 10 miles over the speed limit, you're caught. But that's different.
It's a different deal. And we know the difference. We're grown-ups. We can discriminate between, you know, the chicken manure stuff they do to us to raise revenue and the crackdown. Right. Now, are we in the crackdown? I mean, at some point, we're going to be in the crackdown here, not too far away. And even a traffic stop is going to have ominous implications. Again, though, as long as we can discriminate, we should be okay. Now, the other day, a guy said to me, I think you're premature. You know, I think what you're pushing here, this violence against government, is ahead of the game. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I think you're premature. I said, okay, really? He said, do you know about Brandon Robb? Who? Brandon Robb. I said, this guy got to be put up for sainthood or something, as far as I'm concerned right now. He's like one of these Waco martyrs. He had no intention, just like they had no intention of being martyrs or being held up as exemplars. But here's what happened to Brandon Robb. He's a young guy, ex-Marine, recent ex-Marine, veteran of Afghanistan and Iraq, working for the Jews, killing innocent people over there, horsing around with his sister and brother on Facebook, and you know, repeating lyrics, kind of suggestive or violent lyrics from rock songs, and saying that he didn't believe in the 9/11 fairy tale. So here he is barbecuing at home in his shorts, no shoes, no shirt, and some cars come rolling up his driveway. Right now, you know, he should have realized he had a serious problem developing. It turns out they were Secret Service, FBI, local cops, and maybe marshals. I can't remember. But there's a whole menu of thugs showed up at his place. One of these FBI said to him, Brandon, we got a little problem here. We're worried about you. I said, what about? Well, you know, you're on Facebook and you're saying some pretty wild stuff. Oh, really? Well, no, here's, you know, he naively goes into this explanation of thinking he can talk to these guys. So what do they do with it? They listen to him for about a minute, size him up. One of the locals knocks him down, puts the cuffs on him, stuffs him in a squad car. The last thing he hears from a Fed is, you're not under arrest, Brandon. We're just worried about you. And they cart him off to a VA psych ward where he undergoes a 15-minute psych evaluation. And the quack says, okay, 30 days psych evaluation based on your answers. And he disappears into the belly of the beast. Luckily, his mother became, you know, freaked out, incensed. She got on Facebook, and some veterans read this account, this horrible, horrible account of what happened to this kid. And they got with John Whitehead at the Rutherford Institute, a civil rights law firm in the Virginia area. This was in Virginia, in Chesterfield County. And so John Whitehead got involved, and it took 5 or 6 days. He finally got some friendly judge to say, my God, what's going on here? Let the kid go. But while this was happening, right at the last day, Brandon says, he was in his cell, and they'd moved him 2.5 hours away from home to the western part of Virginia, where it was very hard for his loved ones and his attorneys to reach him, naturally. A psychiatrist came into his cell and said, Brandon, I'm going to have to brainwash you. And Brandon said, you're what? I'm going to forcibly medicate you. But before this could be done, the court order came through and Brandon was released. He was in there about a week. You can imagine the horror. So some guy wrote me, some smart aleck wrote me during this time and said, you know, it's kind of funny. Here you are saying all this wild stuff and nothing happens to you. But this ex-Marine, he gets arrested and sent to the psych ward. Can you explain that? Well, I said, yeah, I think I can. Brandon Robb, first of all, was horsing around on Facebook, playing with games. Number two, Brandon Robb didn't have a gun. I said, I realize this doesn't sound reasonable that an ex-Marine doesn't have a gun. But Maybe he'd had a belly full of guns because of what he had to do for the Jews over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Maybe he was just fed up with guns. But they knew that. They knew he was harmless. So an interesting thing that came out of this whole thing was that John Whitehead, as he was, delving into this, what he called the most frightening experience in his probably 30 years of civil rights litigation and seeing people railroaded into prison, he said, this is the most frightening example I have ever seen. This one really gave me the creeps. He said, because some journalists and some vets approached him and said, Mr. Whitehead, do you know that in Virginia alone, Virginia averages 20,000 of these civil commitments every year? People just disappear. They go into the psych wards and disappear. Some of them get out, but some of them don't. They just disappear. And most of them are vets.
Right. He said, and if the ones who do get out, wait a minute, the ones who do get out, you can be sure that they probably went through the chemical lobotomization, because when that psychiatrist told him he was going to, basically mind wipe him, that's what he's talking about, either electroshock therapy or chemical lobotomy drugs. And that's what they're doing. And this has been well talked about in the protocols and other places as well, is that, it's called re-education. That's what George Orwell calls it, re-education. If we can't get you to go along with the program, then we're going to alter your brain and so that you have nothing to say, against it. And this is tyranny to the, most bizarre and evil level that they're doing this. But I'm glad you said that. Yes, let me repeat that. Over 20,000 civil commitments just in Virginia per year. If that doesn't shock and horrify people, I don't know what will. And I've also been asked by people, how come you're not dead yet, Dr. Carley? As if the fact that I'm still breathing is like some questionable thing. I have had 3 attempts in my life. They haven't succeeded yet. But that always amazes me. Like, what's the answer to that? Why aren't you dead yet? If you're really so dangerous to the medical mafia, how come you're still breathing? That's like such a hilarious question. That's the best they can come up with, I guess.
Well, I think it's, they're doing the silent silencing of people, these 20,000 people just in one state. I mean, can we imagine how many in California or Washington or Florida or Illinois? I mean, it's just mind-boggling. So, some of us are not going to be bothered immediately because of the Waco effect. We have to take our hats off to these strange martyrs down in Waco who, I must tell you, I mean, I'm not a religious guy. I hate the whole concept. And I don't claim to understand those people. But they made our lives much more valuable from what they did. They scared the bejesus out of the system. That wasn't supposed to happen. What happened in Waco was an abomination on the part of the government. They thought they were going to catch these people at 10 o'clock in prayer so they could kill them or do whatever they were going to do, and they weren't going to fight back. And they barged in there and started killing, and they got shot up pretty good. And they lost, I think, 4 dead, and I don't know how many wounded, to the extent that they finally had to raise their hands and surrender to the besieged ones in the inside and ask permission to come get their dead and wounded. Right. Now, we know today, based on hindsight, that they should never have allowed them. They should have just kept shooting based on what happened. But you live and learn. Those people, though, made our lives very valuable because the government does not want another Waco. And if there's a hint that somebody knows what he's doing or she's doing about protecting himself or herself, they're not going to come after you right now. They want the easy targets. They want the guys like Brandon Robb who don't have guns. It just, Brandon Robb fit the profile. He's a harmless kid, and looking into 9/11, making quasi-militant remarks, but no means to protect himself. He's a perfect target. So you don't want to be like that. You just want to thank Brandon Robb for what he did for us.
Yeah, and this should be a very important message to the idiots who are signing up to be in the military at this point. I mean, I know that they're having trouble getting jobs here in the States, but, you know, I don't get it. There's no excuse, in my opinion. There's so much information on 9/11, as well as so many other things, false flag events that are being carried out by our own government, who are nothing more than prostitutes for the Jews. They're not doing their homework, and then they go over there and they become serial killers and they do all the things that they do, and then they come back here and they think that they're going to be left alone. In fact, in the VA hospitals, they're killing off these people. They don't want them telling their friends and family what they really saw, especially in Afghanistan, where they're actually protecting the poppy fields. They're not going against the Taliban. The Taliban is the one that is trying to stop the poppy field production and get those people, you know, some kind of agricultural crop that they can bring forth that will actually benefit the country. So these people are not doing their homework, and then they're betrayed by their own government, and they're surprised by that. I mean, you know, I really don't have a lot of patience with those people. I think it's disgusting. I realized a long time ago that the ones with PTSD are the ones that have a conscience, and they went over there and raped and killed and did whatever they were told, and then they come back here and they say, well, I'm having trouble sleeping. What a surprise. The serial killers that love to kill, of course, they have no PTSD, and they go over there and they re-enlist, and then they come back here and they're worshipped as heroes. It is so disgusting. There are no words. But I'm getting a message. We have a caller, Lonnie from Canada, that's been waiting patiently. Let's bring on Lonnie. Hello, Lonnie.
Hi, Dr. Harley. Hi, Bruce. Fantastic discussion today. I just wanted to... I know that people ask me the same kind of question that Bruce and yourself were just discussing, this confusion of when do we act. It's not always about worrying about guns blazing, although that is necessary at certain times and certain circumstances. Sometimes it's just a matter of exerting our authority. And so I want to tell a true story to give people an example of this. Last summer, I was about 10 hours away from home working. At 11 o'clock at night, I received a phone call from my wife that we live in a rural area, or countryside area, a little further out than that, actually. Anyway, I received this phone call at 11 o'clock at night that they were being evacuated for a forest fire. So obviously, being 10 hours away from home, I was extremely concerned about this. But my concern was as put to rest as much as possible when she assured me who was taking her and my son out. So I knew that they would be safe. So I got home as early as I possibly could the next morning. Still about a three-hour drive from the airport to where I live, and so I purposely drove in as far as I could to where I live to find out where the police were deployed, blocking the highway. Within a couple of phone calls, I found out exactly where they were, and went and joined up with them, stayed there at the evacuation site, which was a hunting camp, and the owners were extremely generous to my wife and son because he was the only baby there, giving them as much space and support as they needed. Anyway, I stayed the one night, and the next morning, the police, the MNR, which is Ministry of Natural Resources, same as U.S. Fish and Game, and for people who do not understand, they have the exact same power of arrest as police. They have more power for search and seizure without warrants. And a firefighter supervisor came in to give us an update of the situation. It was a little sketchy, a little scattered. Now, to be fair, obviously, forest fires are somewhat unpredictable things. Well, when the police had come in to do the evacuation, they had threatened anybody with arrest who would not leave. And so this forest fighter supervisor was telling me, he had his thermal satellite maps out and whatnot, giving the best update that he could. And he made this comment that they were aware that there was one resident still down in there. Now, suddenly, any of the residents that were at the evacuation site became very concerned because there had been some break-ins previously in the year. And so their concern, understandably, went from being from losing everything they owned due to forest fire to being looted, and And just a side note, we know that sometimes, but to be fair, not all, but sometimes police are involved in these kind of things when there's no protection whatsoever for our places. But anyway, I'm not the kind of guy who's going to stand around.
Okay, wait a minute. I have to interject. Sometimes? I mean, who's going to be doing looting in a place that has been evacuated by police or whatever authority has evacuated them? The only ones who are going to dare go into those areas are those very same people who know that the houses are having no people. Who else is going to loot them? In my opinion, it's an excuse to loot. Let's evacuate the people and steal everything they have. But go ahead.
It's certainly a possibility. I don't want to say every police officer would do that, but it's certainly ripe for that possibility. Okay, anyway, we did have confirmation that there was an individual down there, and of course everybody's concern turned to looting, and I live there as well, and so I have the same concern, and I'm not going to stand by. So I arranged a ride with somebody who lived there, told a couple of residents that I was going in, and so I could call back and let them know when I arrived. I got them to drop me off at a railway line about a kilometer before where the police were, and I walked 15 kilometers carrying a 40-pound backpack down to this somewhat isolated little community, rested up for about 45 minutes, put on a military uniform, covered my face, put on a battle rig, and carried a loaded M14 carbine, and patrolled literally every street, every residence in that area for 2.5 days, sleeping almost no time at all in that duration to make sure the place was as safe as I could possibly make it. Several people asked me to check on the residences because they left so hastily they forgot to lock their doors, that sort of thing. I took notes. I did all of those things, and anyway, the morning that they reopened the area, of course, I wasn't aware that it was reopened yet, they sent in an M&R, Ministry of Natural Resources officer, to run through and check the place. Well, here I am standing in the middle of this road with this battle rig on and a loaded high-caliber semi-auto battle rifle, and this officer starts driving towards me, obviously wondering what the heck is going on. This is not an everyday sight in that kind of region especially. And anyway, he slowed down a lot as he started getting very close to me, not quite coming to a full stop, but just crawling by me. He just stared at me, not knowing what to do. So I pointed my rifle in his general direction, not directly at him, to be unnecessarily provoking. And I barked at him, and I said, do the right thing and drive on as if I were not here. And stared at him right in the eyes. He looked at me, suddenly looked terrified, and just took off. And the police never came in to investigate anything. Now, the point of the story is, it's about, in those kind of situations, it's about right and wrong. It's not about legal and illegal. I do not care about that nonsense anymore. And people have got to stop being afraid of these things. Now, again, that kind of situation can go either way. And if it had gone the other way, I wasn't standing there with a loaded semi-auto battle rifle because I'm afraid to use it. That's not the case. So authority needs to start realizing some of us are more than willing to do what needs to be done to protect our families, to protect our residences, and same for innocent life and property of others. And so, again, it's not always about guns blazing. It's about exerting our authority and letting these people know who's really boss. So anyway, so I wanted to relay that very true story to hopefully get other people to think about what needs to be done, right and wrong. Now, one comment that I wanted to make on the general topic of today that I'd like to get Bruce's response to is, just because people take offensive action does not mean it's not actually defensive. Meaning, when people know to say the true history of World War II, now this might not be a good example because so many people get confused with the whole Hitler and Third Reich thing, but this is a good example for those who understand it. When Hitler and the German military attacked the Soviet Union, a lot of people are very confused by that because they try to portray it as aggression, and that is not true. The fact is it was a defensive maneuver, because the fact is he knew, Hitler was smart enough to know that if he did not take that desperate, seemingly impossible action, that Germany would not exist on the map today. He did that to save his culture ultimately. Look at, for example, Yugoslavia. Is it on the map today? No. People are not realizing that you can be defensive by being offensive, number one. And number two, it's very clear that we're being maneuvered here. Like Bruce is trying to encourage, when necessary, violent force against our oppressors, and I'm 100% in agreement with that. However, clearly the Jews that control our government want that as well. That's what they're trying to maneuver, that kind of response. We have no choice in this matter at a certain point. However, we have historical examples that we should be learning from, just like an example of Brandon Robb, like Bruce gave. The historical example is when these situations are instigated, one of the tricks that's played against us is the, we'll call them the partisan fighters, the people like you and I standing up against this. We often are manipulated in terms of the people who are not taking arms to make it look like the partisans are the problem. So it is also in the propaganda warfare arm of things to, for us to go out of our way to make sure that people understand that the problem is Jewish and all being instigated by them. So we can't fall for that type of manipulation. Any response, Bruce?
Okay, thank you for your call, Lonnie. I appreciate that. Let's let Bruce respond. Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, that's quite a wide-ranging thing there, but I would say that it doesn't matter who the aggressor is. The most dangerous aggressor today is the cop who, you know, has a license to kill. The license to kill us for any reason or for no reason at all. We can overthink this thing. You know, we can't get sucked into the trap of overthinking it. We got to be ready to fight at the first sign of aggression. The FBI got upset a couple months ago. They don't like my use of the term at the drop of a hat. They don't like that. That's good. But we have to be ready. You know, it could develop into a Brandon Robb situation. I mean, let's face it, 20,000 people a year in one state are getting disappeared, either temporarily or permanently. So I say I'm not premature. We got to discriminate. We got to be, like I said, we got to be logical. But we know what's happening now. We know we're being renditioned. We're disappearing into psych wards. The police are our deadly enemies and must be treated that way. They are treacherous killers. We see it time and time and time again every single month. They're trained and authorized to lie to us, which, you know, to accomplish their primary job, which is to arrest us and put us in prison where we can be worked like slaves, tortured, and even killed. So it's pretty simple, you know. You got some decisions to make. You got some. I'll go into some more defensive stuff later when we have a little bit more time after this next break.
Yeah, after the next break. And, it's a difficult situation because, of course, if there's a massive uprising, they will bring about martial law. So it's not that there's an easy solution, people. We have to, as Bruce said, you know, use our minds and do what we have to do when the time is right. Okay, we'll be back after this message. Stay tuned. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is no defense against Jewish aggression. With my special guest, J.B. Campbell. I suggest you go to his website, jbcampbellextremismonline.com, and check that out. He's got so many excellent essays, and he's pretty much said it all, and you need to read those essays. But I just want to mention, I was cracked up. You know, I monitor television to see what they're feeding the sheep, and Obama has ordered today National Day of Service to honor Martin Luther King, including cleaning up the environment. Of course, as his EPA is allowing us to be poisoned in every way, and it's not just the EPA, it's the FDA, it's the USDA, the list is endless. And the big picture, as far as I see it, Bruce, is that these psychopaths are killing us. It's right in our face, even in mainstream television and different newspapers. They're telling us different things that are happening, and they're doing absolutely nothing. And yet, people are saying that, well, if we take up arms and we go against our own killers, that we're basically buying into what they want in terms of giving them an excuse to bring about martial law. So can you just comment on that? Like, it looks like we're in a no-win situation. And I feel very strongly that we have to recognize that we are being killed and do something about it, and let the, you know, chips fall where they may. But how would you address that controversy that we're facing?
Well, I guess today we could say we're in a relationship to the police is a Mexican standoff. They're armed, and their guns and their cars and their uniforms and everything paid for by us, and we're armed. The feds, of course, are terrorists. They're not cops. The feds are at war with us. Well, the cops are expected to do what the feds tell them to do. We just have to remember that these deadly enemies were armed and equipped by us at our expense. It makes us the boss. We got to change this whole mentality we've got. Stop worrying about these guys and reestablish the employer-employee relationship. Now, I don't mean to say that we're going to pull out some contract and say, hey, my lawyer. No, I'm referring to the fact that we have more guns, a hell of a lot more guns than they've got. You know, we just have to remember our power. The whole purpose of television and the Jewish establishment is to disarm us mentally. My God, we have to stop and think about how much power we've got. I mean, the state of Pennsylvania has 1 million licensed deer hunters. And I'm here to tell you, there really is nothing more dangerous than a deer hunter. There's nothing more dangerous. They may put on some orange coloring, you know, to prevent being shot by another deer hunter. But if they don't, you take that that orange stuff off, that Day-Glo orange off, all of a sudden, these are some very dangerous cats. They can get up close. They can stalk a very nervous animal. And they can kill. Now, you got more armed, and that's just deer hunters. I'm not talking about bear hunters or dove hunters or quail, you know, duck hunters. All these people are excellent shots. My mission is to get them to think about using those guns, not on the animals, but on the threat.
Right.
The boss pays the bills. We're the boss. And we take responsibility for everything. This is the whole key to our future, is responsibility. We have been trained by school, by church, by television, to disavow our responsibility. Oh, I'm not responsible. No. The grown-up, the boss, takes responsibility for everything. That's in the present, the past, and the future. That's including our treacherous employees. It's important to keep this rule in mind whenever we're confronted by cops. We've got to change the whole relationship here. I mean, around here, these guys around here are not, they will not mess with us. I mean, we had a guy tell, I think I told you on the previous show, I was happy to hear that one of the guys told the sheriff, said, you know, you start messing with us, we're just going to kill you. And the guy said, I'll just have to call in an airstrike on you, but, you know, a nervous threat. An airstrike's not going to do him any good. He knows that. But we must be... we must present the attitude that we're ready to fight at the first sign of aggression. That means self-defense. That means it does mean that we have to give the advantage to the aggressor. You know, I admit at this early stage right now, the aggressor still has the advantage. We have to be thinking in terms of self-defense. Not
well,
good.
Not only that. Let me just mention. You see that smart-ass comment that sheriff, cop, whatever made. Is basically an admission that they will do whatever they have to do to follow their orders to kill you, who is trying to prevent the killing of yourselves and the other people. I mean, that's like a bully. telling you, oh, you do want to do such and such, I'm going to do such and such. Well, what's our response supposed to be to that? Guess what, bully? You just exposed yourself. You just took off your mask. You are garbage. And we're paying you to make a comment like that, that you're going to call in an airstrike? I mean, that's amazing, actually, when you think about it.
Well, they excuse me, they know the technology's there. They know they've got the drones. They know they've got the federal encouragement to use federal equipment. Again, paid for by us. It's all our stuff. They know they've got the permission and the encouragement by the Law Enforcement and Assistance Administration and all these federal shops to use military equipment against us. But it's not going to help them. It's not going to help them. It won't be long until we do go on the offensive, and it won't be possible for cops to be cops and wear uniforms and drive around in cop cars. I mean, that's just not going to be a realistic thing once they finally come out and say, we want your guns. I mean, I'm not premature. Brandon Robb is here to tell us that I'm, if anything, a little behind the power curve. We just got to get our minds wrapped around this thing. Right now, it's an armed standoff with us ready to defend. Again, at the drop of a hat, we have to have this mentality. I see more than one car come down my driveway, it's all over. I know that it's on. Everything depends on getting the drop on the other guy. I mean, you know, just because you got a gun doesn't mean you're going to win. But if you don't have one, it means you're going to lose. The main idea is to hit the bad guy first, even if he shoots first. The first one to hit the other guy will probably win. And the bad guy must be shot until he's dead. These guys are dangerous as rattlesnakes because they got nothing else to do. We're not going to be able to take any prisoners. This guy in the Middle East that talked to me the other day says, well, you sound like a Syrian rebel. You're not going to take any prisoners. No, it's not that. The Syrian rebels are CIA. Yeah. We're going to be fighting CIA here, too. We just can't take any prisoners because we got no place to put them. What are we going to do with a prisoner? Turn them over to the DA? Right. No, the DA is on this side, too. We don't have a luxury of taking prisoners. It's just a reality. So it's going to be no quarter. No quarter asked, no quarter given. We know that. They know it. We just got to get with the program.
And one thing I try to do all the time is to educate these idiots that are working for the Jews, that they're being destroyed with bioweapon vaccines, their children are being destroyed. You see, that's what's so amazing, is they're protecting the very people who are killing them and creating disease in them as well. And, you know, I'm not so naive as to believe that, you know, enough of them will stand up against the monsters and do something about the bioweapon aspect of what's being done, because they still have this mind control aspect that they have to do what they're doing in order to put food on their table, even if they're killing themselves and their own children. And that's the really hard part of the mind control to overrun. But we just keep putting it out there and hope that, you know, eventually some of them will get it. And I do hear little rumblings from the military, certainly not at the high level, although I have to, you know, wonder about the military officer who had the affair and was let loose from his commission, which who cares if he had an affair? You have to wonder if maybe he had something else up his sleeve. Maybe he was actually thinking about going against the traitors that are destroying our country. But, you know, I think in the lower levels of the military, some of them are waking up. So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, it's going to get very interesting for sure. But certainly if the military would take their oath to protect and serve our country seriously, because obviously the enemies are within, if they would take their oath seriously, that would help us greatly, but I'm not holding my breath on that one. Do you hear anything about that possible solution happening?
Well, no, that guy you're referring to, was that Petraeus? I mean, he supposedly made the Jews nervous because he wasn't in favor of what they're doing in Palestine. So they had to get rid of him. I mean, you got to get rid of anybody who doesn't play the exact game. It can't be, you know, George Bush Sr., back in the aftermath of Operation Desert Storm 91, Israel was promised $10 billion in loan guarantees if they would not get involved in the war. Because if Israel came into to our invasion of Iraq, it would make it look like what it was, a U.S.-Israeli operation. So as their reward for not getting involved, you know, this is all crazy, crazy mind games. Of course they didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to lose one Jew. They wanted the Americans to get killed. But supposedly their reward was $10 billion in loan guarantees. But then Bush and Baker got kind of fancy and said, well, you guys really need to cut back these settlements. And I think we're going to tie the loan guarantees to you stopping these you know, crappy apartment houses you're building. But with that threat by Bush and Baker, Viktor Ostrovsky, the Mossad case officer, confessed in a book that the Mossad had decided to assassinate George H.W. Bush just for threatening to delay, not to cut him off, but to delay the loan guarantees. They decided to kill him. And they decided to do it at the G8 meeting in Madrid. And so Ostrovsky found out about it, went to the Secret Service and said, hey, these crazy bastards are going to kill your boss. You better keep him out of sight. And so that's what the military knows about the Jews. They are capable of anything. Our mission is to get the junior grade officers, the lieutenants, the captains, the majors, to rebel against their sellout senior guys who are all political, all CFR sellouts.
Right.
And that's the issue in the military. We got to encourage these guys. That we'll, you know, we'll support them if they support us.
And what do you think are the chances of that happening?
Because I think they're real good.
But these soldiers are too chicken to even refuse vaccines. I get calls from them all the time. I know that vaccines are bad. I don't want to take them. And my answer is, so just say no. They don't even have the courage to say no to vaccines. Oh, I may get court-martialed or whatever. Well, would you rather be dead? That's my question to them. So that's what I find very hard to comprehend, is that they would have the courage to stand up in the situation that you're talking about when they're afraid to even say no to bioweapon vaccines.
True, but these guys got into the military, a lot of them, because they wanted to be heroes. Once they got in there, they realized that they were not going to be heroes. They're going to be assassins and murderers. And a lot of them don't like it. I mean, I dare say Brandon Robb and a lot of the guys who are being picked up on civil commitments, I don't like it. So
Why they're being picked up, because they're going public and talking about this on Facebook and such. Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So we've got to coordinate
these guys.
And I wish
they would educate. Wait a minute.
We've got to coordinate
these
guys.
Why aren't they educating the others standing in line at the recruitment centers? That's what I don't get. How come the others that are signing up, you know, what's that John Lennon song? What if there was a war and nobody came? How come that nobody else is willing to tell the others getting ready to put themselves in that situation what they're really signing up for?
Yeah, I'm afraid the early stages of their military experience, we can't get to them at that point because they got stars in their eyes. But after they've been degraded and humiliated and shamed by their vicious actions in Iraq and Afghanistan, and some of them develop consciences, these are the guys that we can probably get to now because they've seen the errors of their ways. I just, you know, that's my theory. I'm gonna go with it. I'm gonna try to cultivate these guys.
Me too, and that's why I continue to do shows, and I'm hoping they're listening. Okay, we have a caller on the line, Frank in North Carolina, who, by the way, actually called into the Alex Jones show and asked him some hard questions, which was a hilarious YouTube that's out there. Frank, thank you for calling in. Go ahead. Are you there, Frank? Hello, Frank.
Hey, hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was happening. I could hear you.
Okay. First of all, could you tell the listeners the name of the YouTube where you're calling into the Alex Jones show to ask him some hard questions? It was really an excellent little call that you put in there. He became rabid at you.
Yes, I would say rabid is about the word for it. I don't really know the name of the YouTube. I think it was on New Year's Eve. I believe it was New Year's Eve on Monday on the 31st of December.
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently it is out there. I've done that before. On his show, and I've gotten out quite a bit of good information. I didn't do such a good job that time because he knows who I am. He tries to pretend like he doesn't, but I call quite a number of shows on Genesis and RBN and different shows, and they all know who I am. The call screeners even know who I am. So mm-hmm. That's one of those disinfo. The 25 signs of disinfo is they try and play dumb and pretend like they don't know who you are and they don't know what you're talking about, but. Anyway, I've made some really good calls since then, too, on other shows, some of them on Genesis Communications, get out a lot of good information, because, you know, a lot of these people, these hosts on these shows, they don't want to talk about the Jewish issue. Some of them, like Pastor Butch Paul, will admit that I'm right when I call in and talk about it, but he himself won't talk about it. I called into his show last night on Genesis Communications right near towards the end of the show and got in a ton of information in a very short period of time about who's behind all this, who's in control. But anyway, I just wanted to call in and say great broadcast, and I really enjoy when you have Bruce on. I am an ex-Marine myself, by the way, and I kind of tend to agree with him. I've tried to wake these young kids up, 18, 19 years old, before they go in. They've got stars in their eyes. They see. They want glory. You can't wake them up. You really can't.
Because they believe they're serving their country. They have to go into the hole and realize that it's nothing to do with serving their country. They're serving the Jews, and they're committing crimes against humanity. And that's why so many of them are killing themselves.
Right. Well, I don't want to waste any more of your time. I know you're getting short on time, so if there's nothing else, I'll just hang up.
All right. Well, I love when you call in, Frank. You're an excellent listener and caller, and I'm so glad you're out there trying to wake up others on shows that will not talk about the problem, because as I always say, you know, my show, What's Ailing America? Well, we can talk about the branches and the leaves on the tree of evil until the cows come home, but we have to get to the root, and the root is the Jews, and I have realized that for a couple of years now, and that's why I have joined the other brave hosts who are risking the, you know, allegation of hate speech, and I've taken myself off two stations in the last couple of months because I've been censored from talking about the problem. And that's what people have to realize, is that if you're donating your money to stations who will not address the actual problem, what are you accomplishing? We're in a mess. Okay, we got a big problem here. And we have to take up arms and truth. You know, truth is a very valuable weapon. And I prefer to use that before the guns come out, but whatever it takes. I'm not going to sit here and allow myself to be murdered by these monsters who will do whatever they're told by their Jewish handlers. So thank you very much, Frank. Anything else on that note, Bruce?
Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks, Frank. I would say our general attitude, following on what you're saying, Rebecca, is that we're ready to fight and actually are looking forward to it. This is what I'm trying to impart. You know, I fought terrorism in Africa, and I must admit, it was a wonderful experience. It was the greatest experience of my life, most important thing I've ever done personally. But it wasn't as meaningful as what is coming up now here. This is our chance to become real human beings for the first time, not only in our lives, but really in the history of America. Americans have not been the good guys. I've offended some people in the past saying this, but we have not covered ourselves in glory. We've done exactly the wrong thing from the very, very beginning. So now is the time to address this and to change.
We're whores for Israel. We're whores for Israel, the most evil country on the face of the planet. That's self-evident. Thank you for an excellent show. And,
don't get any injections. You never know what's in them. They're all
long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Okay, here it is. Life Change Tees Commitment to Excellence. Once again, Ronnie McMullen here, challenging you to a better lifestyle and health. On my radio show, I challenge people to think and act on good mental health, and this, in turn, promotes great physical health. Life Change Tee is a head start product to help aid your health and bring you your best life. And Life Change Tee doesn't taste like tea. It tastes great. So now, here's your holiday bonus. Buy now a one-month supply, and we'll give you 2 weeks for free. It's our holiday giveaway, and it's the best sell of the year. Lose weight and feel great this holiday season. So order now. Call 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com.